Hari kedua saya berada di Beijing, China mengikuti secara rapat lawatan rasmi ataupun lawatan kerja yang di-Pertua Dewan Rakyat Tan Sri Johari Abdul ke negara ini. Sudah pasti tumpuan kita lebih kepada bagaimana Tan Sri Johari telah menyampaikan syarahan umum di salah satu universiti yang saya kira mungkin tertua, bukan saja di China tetapi juga mungkin di peringkat global, iaitu Universiti Tsinghua. Yang mana kalau boleh saya kongsikan, Universiti Tsinghua ini telah ditubuhkan ataupun telah dibina seawal 1911. Jadi usianya sudah melebihi satu abad kalau kita memasuki era 2023. Dan bercakap mengenai abad, ini antara konten ataupun antara highlight yang disampaikan oleh Tan Sri, iaitu bagaimana tajuk syarahan beliau sendiri bertajuk ASEAN dalam Abad Asia. Jadi kalau boleh, sebelum kita nak bercerita lanjut, sebelum kita nak mengupas lanjut, saya nak membawakan anda syarahan daripada Tan Sri Johari Abdul, ASEAN dalam Abad Asia. Kita dengarkan.
Thank you. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi taala wabarakatuh, and a very good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Professor. First of all, I would like to thank you very much. I saw some Malaysian faces are here, that give me confidence to talk more about Malaysia and ASEAN. With me also today, I would like to introduce few very important personality. I have a deputy speaker. Please rise. This is Madam Alice. She might look cute, but very fierce in Parliament, being a deputy speaker. I have a head of mission here, Mr. Shan. Malaysian head of mission in China. I have Mr. Kula, a very senior member of parliament from Malaysia. I have Mr. Awang, also a member of parliament, and he's from opposition. If you were to watching YouTube on YouTube and some other social media, he's one of the most vocal MPs in parliament. And I have to say, sit down. Remember those things? Then we have Mr. Chiu from Sarawak, Miri. And the rest are delegates, Datuk Lim, one of the entrepreneur in Malaysia and philanthropy. And we have another senior government officer, Mr. Hamza. And we have all government officers of Malaysia who are in Beijing. My friend, it is such an honor to be here today. First of all, I would like to thank the President for receiving me this morning from the Tsinghua University for the invitation to be here in the leading institution of exceptional thinkers of Asia. As great saga Confucius said in the Ethics of Confucius in the first chapter, it is always a pleasure to greet a friend from afar. Distance is merely a test of how for a friendship can travel, and in case of Malaysia-China friendship, ours is born that is century old, intertwined by a glorious past and ushered in a new era of friendly exchanges between two ancient civilizations. As a bridging linking on the world, the Malacca Sultanate has connected the Asia-Pacific and Indian Ocean regions, attracting China into the myth. The arrival of Chinese traders to Malacca signals the establishment of the Malacca-China diplomatic relation, bringing forth shared prosperity, community, mutual respect, harmony, and closeness for years to come. Malaysia recognizes China's pivotal role as an important partner on the economic and cultural front. As a founding member of the Association of South Asian Nations, ASEAN, in 1974, Malaysia was the first ASEAN nation to establish diplomatic relations with China. Our relationship continues to flourish, strengthen through high-level exchanges and cooperation in numerous sectors. In 2013, Malaysia and China elevated their relations from strategic cooperation to comprehensive strategic partnership. You're marking a new chapter in the historic ties between Kuala Lumpur and Beijing. Malaysia has enjoyed excellent bilateral relations and cooperation with China based on mutual respect, trust, and confidence. Since then, the elevation of ties from strategic cooperation to comprehensive strategic partnership in 2013 has set a new framework for both countries to embrace the bilateral relations further, especially in trade, investment, education, tourism, regional security, and beyond. Indeed, I look forward to celebrating the 50th anniversary of the diplomatic relations between Malaysia and China. 5 decades of diplomatic relations between our nation and 6 centuries of friendship between our people. Indeed, Asia's meteoric rise and exceptional growth is attributable to the 4 M's: millennial, middle class, metropolitan, and mobile enable. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now at the heart of the ASEAN century, a period of extraordinary growth and progress. It is undeniable that the focus of globe is moving. How fortunate it is today that Malaysia and China is at the cusp of this shift. In the face of economic uncertainties worldwide, Malaysia and China have displayed impressive resilience, leveraging our unique advantages to carve out our space in the global economic order. Be that as it may, the ASEAN century is beyond the notion of economic expansion. It is about social inclusion, regional cooperation, and sustainable development. Both Malaysia and China have demonstrated a fervent dedication to this principle with the steadfast dedication and multilateralism and regional cooperation serving as two variable and role model for neighboring countries. The path to the Asian century is not without obstacles. Tackling global issues, including income inequality, environmental sustainability, and political stability, is imperative. On the issues of Asia-China strategic partnership, our shared as Asia wisdom of values rooted in a good neighborhoodliness have assured that ASEAN and China maintain close communication through various channels, including ministerial meetings and high-level dialogue. This strategic communication has been essential in maintaining an Asian-centered regional architecture, and it is open, inclusive, and conducive to regional peace and stability. Again, this sense of togetherness stood the best and the test of time when ASEAN and China have provided each other with much-needed public health assistance during crises such as COVID-19 pandemic. Cooperation in vaccine research and development, supply and production has distinguished this partnership. As sustainability and viability become the engine to map out our future, both parties must work together to enhance cooperation in artificial intelligence, renewable energy, and food security. This can be attained by way of regional connectivity, expanding cultural, education, media, think tanks, sport, women and youth exchanges to foster closer human connections. These are the low-hanging fruits that ASEAN countries should seize. Hence, the relationship between ASEAN and China is advantageous for both parties and function as a pillar of regional stability and prosperity. The ASEAN region will continue to be one of the fastest growing regions in 2023. Despite global economic pressure, ASEAN countries are projected to grow at 6% in 2023, outpacing the projected global GDP growth rate. It is anticipated that tourism sectors of countries like Malaysia, Thailand, and Philippines will recover to the pre-pandemic levels. In a world that is becoming more interconnected, the wealth of one country is frequently correlated with the prosperity of the neighbors. Take Malaysia and China as its illustration. Although not geographically close, we have strong historical, cultural, and economic relations. Our countries have collaborated on many different fronts throughout the years, from trade and investment to education and tourism, showcasing the power of bilateral collaboration. From the multilateral perspective, the concept of Asia as Asian century postulates that the 21st century, I repeat, the 21st century, will be characterized by the growing influence and power of ASEAN nations, primarily those of East, South, and Southeast Asia. Within this framework, the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, and China emerge as a pivotal actors. Prosper Thy Neighbor's policy can serve as a framework for nurturing beneficial relations between China and ASEAN neighbors, including Myanmar, Laos, and Vietnam. Malaysia and China cooperation to be a resilient, inclusive, and sustainable regional cooperation ecosystem. Malaysia shall be seen as a gateway to ASEAN countries. They can work together on projects encouraging shared growth, like cooperative investment scheme, international trade pact, and regional development plans. For instance, ASEAN and China could develop the ASEAN food hub to mitigate the food security issues that have a great and global interest. Unity is the first step towards prosperity. ASEAN was founded on the principle of cooperation and mutual respect. We must continue to strengthen these ties between governments and among our people, particularly our youth, who represent the future of ASEAN. Each ASEAN nation has distinct economic advantages. For instance, Malaysia's economy is projected to expand by 4% in 2023, primarily due to the strength of semiconductor and natural gas industries. We must capitalize on these advantages to regional cooperation. Imagine the possibility if we could establish an ASEAN energy and technology market. Now I'm talking about the leaders of tomorrow. Our future valuable asset is our young population. In 2020, ASEAN youth population, who are in between the age of 15 to 35 years old, is recorded at 224.2 million. 224.2 million. The Gen Z, Generation Z, the age of 15 to 25, is recorded at 105 million. And Gen Y, Generation Y, 26, at the age of 26 to 35, is 118 million. Investment and education and talent development are indispensable. Universities should offer courses such as sustainable development, technology, and entrepreneurship that correspond with the future requirements of our economies. If you want 1 year of prosperity, grow green. If you want 10 years of prosperity, grow trees. If you want 100 years of prosperity, grow people. This rings true with us today as we look toward the future of ASEAN, particularly in China and Malaysia. The world is increasingly diversified, complicated, yet interrelated. Leadership in our time requires flexibility, sensitivity, and keen awareness of the subtleties of cultures and society. It needs leaders who can motivate people and give them authority rather than merely giving them orders. We witness this style of leadership in action within ASEAN region. Our young are rising to the occasion, taking the initiative and changing the world. They are taking control of their own destiny rather than waiting for fate to grant them leadership. Leaders are made, not born. Contains a profound truth that holds true for all of us, especially so for the young generation to hone diligence, tenacity, education, study, and most importantly, real-world experience. Stewardship is what leadership is all about, not being in change. Asia and ASEAN have a ASEAN have travel and active youth population. Young people are today's change maker and tomorrow's leader. They are leading social change, advancing innovation, and influencing the future of our countries. Our educational institution, our communities, most importantly, each of us are part of this collaborative endeavor. We must all make our effort to develop a culture that values education, support creativity, and values critical thinking. We must give our children the resources and chances they require to develop into strong leaders. The ASEAN Century is a vision, a possibility that calls for focused work, cooperation, and dedication rather than being a foregone outcome. With the economic dynamism, social peace, and dedication to regional cooperation, ASEAN and China are well positioned to take the lead in bringing the vision to life. Therefore, let us work together to make the Asian Century a reality. Let's keep in mind that Asian Century is about more than just economic progress. As we approach its beginning, it is also about building a more inclusive, sustainable, and peaceful world. Let's collaborate, share knowledge, and work to maximize the Asia Century's potential. Thank you very much, and xiexie.
Baik, demikian syarahan yang bertajuk ASEAN dalam Abad Asia, yang mana beliau menekankan bahawa kalau mengikut pandangan penganalisis atau pemerhati antarabangsa, abad ke-19 adalah milik United Kingdom ataupun milik British, tetapi abad ke-20 lebih ke arah bagaimana Amerika Syarikat mengembangkan empire-nya. Tetapi berdasarkan analisis ataupun pandangan daripada penganalisis ini, mereka mengatakan bahawa abad ke-21 tidak mustahil akan diterajui oleh ASEAN. Dan bagaimana konteks Malaysia dan ASEAN dalam memperjuangkan ataupun memperkasakan lagi rantau ini. Jadi selepas jurus lepas Tan Sri Johari selesai menyampaikan syarahan, sudah pasti ada sesi soal dan jawab antara beliau dan juga penuntut-penuntut Malaysia yang melanjutkan pengajian mereka di Universiti Siang Kuala. Dan antara lain ialah bagaimana, satu soalan ini saya kira agak menarik, tentang bagaimana Malaysia harus memperkasakan golongan belia utamanya di Malaysia untuk melonjakkan negara ke peringkat global. Kita dengarkan jawapan.
We have young population in ASEAN, Malaysia too. But if we could not recycle the same people as leaders, we can't go that far. There must be a lot of investment on the young ones. There must be incentive. There must be ways and means. How do we cultivate? How we put together our strength and our thought, building capacity, building universities, so that when we pass you this baton, you are ready to lead. And that is our mission. Because we cannot be stingy. We cannot be thinking of ourselves. My time will be gone by tomorrow, but your time is today, not tomorrow. This is where we are encouraging the people of Malaysia, young people, the people of ASEAN, young people, come to China, see how they do things. Because I've seen with my own eyes. When I was a young boy, China was no way for me. But I was wrong then.
Baik, sudah pasti kalau kita berbicara tentang kekuatan, apakah sebenarnya kekuatan Malaysia? Kalau mengikutkan jawapan daripada Tan Sri, bahawa Malaysia ini kekuatannya adalah kepelbagaian dalam kesatuan. Kita ada kaum Melayu sebagai kaum yang terbesar di negara ini ataupun di Malaysia. Kemudian kita ada diikuti oleh kaum Cina dan juga kaum India. Dan inilah yang Tan Sri katakan sewaktu dalam sesi soal jawab itu, antara ramuan yang terbaik tentang bagaimana langkah kita untuk memperkasakan Malaysia. Kita dengarkan kata Tan Sri.
We are Asian. We have humility. And we got to work together. As I said, ASEAN has people and the land. China has technology and the money. Put two and two together. And we shall maximize the result for the humility. And I believe that is what exactly we are doing in Malaysia. We are lucky. We are extremely lucky because our population are very mixed. We have people, Malaysian, who are from China. Historically, they have 7, 8 generations of their forefathers who are from China. So we learn their culture, Chinese culture, very fast. We understand how Chinese think. We understand how Chinese behave. And we have population from India. Of course, from various parts of India, some are Gujarati, some are Southern, some are, but they are Indians. And we understand how the Indian thinks. And thank God, these two countries are emerging now, China and India. See how lucky we are. The spillover certainly will benefit us. And we have East Malaysian, and some of them from Vietnam and many other, we are amalgamation. Malaysia is an amalgamation of people from all over the world. We shall thrive. So we should work together, share our prosperity, share our interests, and share our humanity. I guess if we can do that, life will be better than yesterday, better than today. We should have a better world for tomorrow.
Okey, dalam soalan juga, antara soalan yang menarik ialah tentang apakah pandangan ataupun apakah nasihat Tan Sri. Kerana sepanjang pemerhatian saya, sepanjang saya mengikuti lawatan beliau, beliau sering menekankan tentang kepentingan untuk memperkasakan lagi golongan belia. Kerana pada beliau, golongan belia seharusnya lebih bersedia. Bukan hari ini ataupun sepatutnya semalam lagi mereka sudah harus bersedia untuk memimpin negara, tetapi mengikut acuan yang lebih luas konteksnya. Dengarkan kata Tan Sri.
I'm advising and calling all Malaysians, when you are done with your study here
And you, when you hold your degree, never ever thought for a single minute. Never. I repeat, never. When you come back, look for a job. Don't do that. You are in China. You go back and create your own job. Be an entrepreneur. Have connection. Enhance this connection. Don't lose your phone, your professor's phone number. Your counterparts all over the world, China, from Indonesia, from the world. What we need, I am telling, I'm repeating this, you don't be a slave to an employer. You must be an entrepreneur. Be your own master. So learn as much as possible from China. See how they do things, how they persevere, how they work hard, how intelligent they are, and how they are connected to one another. And that is what life is all about in China. And that is the kind of life we want in Malaysia.
Baik, tadi itu merupakan sedikit daripada perkongsian yang mungkin saya boleh kongsikan bersama anda tentang sesi soal-jawab antara Tan Sri Speaker, Tan Sri Johari Abdul bersama dengan pelajar-pelajar Malaysia yang sedang menuntut di Universiti Tsinghua, antara universiti yang saya kira antara tertua kerana usianya sudah melebihi satu abad, ditubuhkan pada 1911 dan kini sudah memasuki 2023. Itu sedikit sebanyak yang boleh kita kongsikan. Tetapi apa yang saya ingin tekankan di sini ialah bagaimana peranan speaker itu sendiri sebagai ketua badan legislatif, salah satu daripada tiga struktur utama kerajaan, iaitu legislatif, kehakiman dan juga eksekutif. Bagaimana peranan speaker itu sendiri berperanan dalam melonjakkan negara? Kerana kalau saya mengikut laporan ataupun mengikut jadual Tan Sri Speaker ini, bukan sahaja beliau menyampaikan syarahan, dijadualkan beliau juga akan mengadakan pertemuan-pertemuan berprofil tinggi, antara lain termasuklah dengan rakan sejawat beliau TYT Zhao Leji, iaitu Chairman of the Standing Committee of the 14th National People's Congress, ataupun bahasa mudahnya merupakan speaker untuk rumah representatif di China ini. Itu sedikit sebanyak. Jadi kita kira ini merupakan satu perkembangan yang harus diikuti, harus diteliti bagaimana peranan beliau melonjakkan institusi speaker ataupun yang dipertua Dewan Rakyat itu dalam kerangka membangunkan negara bersama-sama, baik dari segi legislatif yang diketuai oleh beliau, baik daripada segi eksekutif yang diketuai oleh Perdana Menteri, ataupun baik dari segi judiciary iaitu kehakiman yang diketuai oleh Ketua Hakim Negara. Kerana semua ini merupakan satu acuan untuk kita melonjakkan Malaysia bukan sahaja di rantau ASEAN tetapi juga di pesada global. Jadi saya tinggalkan anda dengan sedikit pemandangan di Beijing yang saya kira sudah jatuh cinta. Saya tinggalkan anda dahulu.